Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about what's been going on in the stock market over the last couple of days. It's been a really rough 2 days for the NASDAQ, and of course, Tesla as well, so we'll talk about that. We do also have some Tesla-specific news in terms of Giga Berlin, Giga Shanghai, resolution of a lawsuit. We've got some updates from Redwood Materials, GM, Amazon, and Sony. All right, so looking at the markets, Tesla today, rough day, down 5.3% to $1,088.12. And after such a strong Monday, after that Q4 delivery report, Tesla is now down 9.3% over the last 2 days. Let's bring in some more context here, though. The NASDAQ today, obviously down 3.33%. That is the worst day for the NASDAQ in nearly an entire year. The last day the NASDAQ was down more than this was February 25th last year. Of course, yesterday was pretty tough, too. So if we look at the 2-day change, the NASDAQ actually down about 4.6% over the last 2 days. That is the second worst 2-day period for the NASDAQ since the beginning of last year. The only worst 2-day period was March 2nd to March 4th, when the NASDAQ was down about 4.75%. So what was Tesla's performance over those 2 days in March last year? Well, Tesla was down 9.5%. And remember, this year, during this stretch, Tesla down 9.3%. So I think these last couple of days perfectly illustrate how big of an impact in the short term the macro environment can have. In my view, that's probably 95% plus of the move that we have seen in Tesla over the last 2 days. So in terms of Tesla on its own, don't panic, unless of course you are concerned about the macro environment. Someone had just asked me recently, what are my plans if there is a recession? Well, recessions create great opportunities for long-term investors to buy into really great businesses at discounted rates. If Tesla falls a lot, Tesla is going to be under that category of being a really great business. Tesla's got a great management team, a great balance sheet, great demand, great margins, great competitive advantages. There's no place I'd rather have my money in a recession than in Tesla. Now, obviously, you got to be careful with leverage. That's how people get burned and can't recover. But if you hold a great business, you're going to see the other side of it. Just look at Apple through 2008. The stock lost 60% of its value, recovered back to the peak in less than a year, and went on to then double. And of course, since then, it's up a nice little 75x. So that's basically my general plan, just kind of always making sure that I'm not leveraged to a point where I couldn't survive something like that. I'm certainly not going to be the type of person to try to go into all cash and then buy the shares back at a huge discount if a recession were to happen. I don't have enough confidence in my ability to be able to time the macro environment in that way. Now, I don't really expect a major recession, something like 2008, but who knows? All right, so that was kind of an aside. Let's take a look at what was actually going on with the market today. The Fed did release their meeting minutes from their meeting on December 14th and 15th. So recognize that there is a fair amount of latency with this information and things do change pretty quickly right now. But the Wall Street Journal reports that the minutes showed that, quote, officials believed that rising inflation and a very tight labor market could call for lifting short-term rates sooner or at a faster pace than participants had earlier anticipated, end quote. They also note that, quote, some officials also thought the Fed should start shrinking its $8.76 trillion portfolio of bonds and other assets relatively soon after beginning to raise rates, the minute said, end quote. So as we've talked about many times before, the market, particularly growth stocks, tend not to like those rising interest rates. And it's also worth noting that the 10-year Treasury yield has been spiking up over the last couple days, about 20 basis points or 0.2%. And the yield is now within a handful of basis points of the highs from last year, which were late March, early April. Personally, I think the markets tend to overreact to things like this a little bit, but it is what it is. And the direction that things are heading is going to be extrapolated and reacted to for better or worse. So definitely still worth monitoring. All right, last quick thing I want to mention on the stock is that Tesla did file a new Form 4 yesterday, not from Elon Musk. This is from Zach Kirkhorn, just exercising some of his options. So nothing significant there, but just wanted to point it out in case you came across it. All right, getting into some of the other news then, we've got a couple of Gigafactory updates. First on Berlin, where some German officials have commented on approval status. Süddeutsche reporting on this, writing that the test procedure for the approval of the first factory of US electric car manufacturer Tesla in Europe is entering the final phase, according to the Brandenburg state government. Quote, we are intensively involved in the actual final examination of the approval decision, said the head of the Environment Department, Axel Steffen, on Wednesday in the state parliament's Environment Committee. Quote, but I can't tell you today when that can be brought to a conclusion, end quote. So, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're, what, a month out from Groundhog's Day, but this kind of feels like Groundhog's Day. I feel like we've had this exact same report already, but I guess this is kind of just an update of, yep, still working on it. Nope, not sure when it's going to be done. So we just have to continue to wait and see. Tobias Lind, who's been following this whole process very closely, has been sharing some of his personal expectations on Twitter. So again, just his interpretation of what's going on. But he tweeted out this morning before some of these updates that he expects the permit this week or next week. But then later in the day, after hearing some of this reporting, he writes, quote, this week is off the table for me. According to the current status, next week sounds unlikely to me, end quote. So not a great shift in expectations there. And again, just a personal opinion from Tobias, but I think there are very few people that have followed it more closely. Tobias also points out that Tesla has applied for another preliminary permit for further testing. We've now seen several iterations of these temporary test requests. Basically, lets Tesla practice their production, get things up to speed before that final approval. So maybe part of the logic is that if Tesla's getting another temporary permit, then maybe it's still going to be a little bit before that final permit is granted. Tobias does also note that the German government has received all of the documents that they need from Tesla. So there were some stories, I don't know when exactly, maybe a couple weeks back, but some reports that some of those documents hadn't been received yet. So at least currently, it doesn't seem to be the case. So that's where we're at with Berlin, still just a waiting game. As for Texas, kind of the same boat there. Some people expecting an announcement later this week. We shall see. I wouldn't be surprised if Tesla just throws some sort of an update into the Q4 earnings report. That'll be in about 3 weeks. Then we do also have an update on Giga Shanghai. This is from Wuwa, who does the drone flyovers there. He writes that, quote, according to the news, Tesla Shanghai factory internal transformation has begun. The current reservation is small in scale and does not affect production. At this stage, the main production is exporting Tesla, and the working hours of employees are 12 hours per shift, end quote. So from my understanding, this is the continuation of a previous report that Tesla was going to be expanding from December 2021 through April 2022, adding a fourth general assembly line, going from 3 to 4 lines, simple math on that, could facilitate an increase of 33% or more in production. As for that 12 hours per shift component, it had previously been reported that Gigafactory Shanghai workers were working in 11 hour shifts, so Wuwa is actually saying this is an increase from 11 up to 12. Could possibly see increased production from that as well. All right, next on the docket, we've got a status update on the lawsuit of Tesla by Nikola Motors. This was a $2 billion lawsuit in regard to the design of the Tesla Semi. I say was because the lawsuit is no longer. Both Tesla and Nikola have filed to drop all claims and counterclaims against each other on this action. However, it was dismissed without prejudice, which means that the case could be pursued at a later time if things change and either company decides that they do want to end up pursuing it. I wouldn't expect that. This is probably the last we'll hear of it, but that is a possibility. No updates on if Tesla decided to change anything. I would really doubt it. I think it's highly likely that Nikola just decided to stop pursuing. All right, next up here, we've got an update from Redwood Materials, and this actually is directly related to Tesla as well, because Redwood is going to be working with Panasonic for materials for the Gigafactory. Redwood Materials writes, quote, by the end of 2022, Panasonic North America will include Redwood's copper foil produced from recycled materials back into new battery production at the Gigafactory. This will be the first time batteries will be recycled, remanufactured, and returned to the same factory in a closed loop, end quote. So kind of cool to see that. Obviously, Redwood Materials, founded by J.B. Straubel, former co-founder of Tesla, former CTO. Nice to see a little bit of a reconnection there. I'm not exactly sure about that last part where they say this is the first time it's going to be a closed loop because Tesla has done some of its own battery recycling, but I suppose that doesn't really matter all that much. I think it's nice to see this, but probably relatively inconsequential to Tesla. In my view, battery recycling right now is very much going to be in its infancy as electric vehicle production continues to ramp up with such an aggressive pace. If you think about the life cycle of an EV, and even if you assume that's 10 years or something like that, well then, setting aside consumer electronics, which Redwood Materials is working on, but just focusing on EVs right now, the pool of EVs that could be up for recycling would be from 2012. And in 2012, it was really just the Model S getting started. They're producing hundreds and then a few thousand vehicles. The materials in those vehicles would only be enough for a small percentage of Tesla's current production rate. And because of how Tesla is growing, that's going to continue to be the case until growth slows down. So recycling is very important long term, and it's good that people are thinking about the problem and getting that set up for when it is eventually critical. But just naturally, right now, it's going to be a pretty small part of the process. All right, next up, yesterday I mentioned that today was the beginning of the Consumer Electronics Show. So GM chose this for a couple of announcements and unveilings. And their presentation and presentation materials that are now on their website are, well, very interesting, very corporate. A lot going on, certainly not the smoothest way to communicate information. They're dividing up their talks into like chapters, and I can't really imagine anyone has much patience to sift through all of that, but hey, I'm sure it cost them a lot. Anyway, their big announcement was the Chevy Silverado EV. Looks pretty similar to the ICE version. It does have a light bar. I guess that's the de facto design language now for EVs, and it's definitely rounder, which, I mean, obviously for aerodynamic purposes, but makes it look a little odd to me. Otherwise, looks about the same. Anyway, GM sharing a little bit of the specs on this, though they're mostly just talking about the top-of-the-line specs, which will include a GM estimated range of 400 miles on a full charge, They say this will be offered on the WT, which is generally the base version they call the work truck, as well as the fully loaded version, the RST, which is kind of interesting because in the internal combustion engine lineup, the RST, at least to my understanding, is not the top of the line that goes to the LTZ or the High Country. The reason I find that interesting is because to me, it comes across as GM in a way trying to protect the ICE platform by just making sure that, oh, yep, we only have the top of the line versions available as internal combustion engine. Just seems like a subtle hint of inferiority towards the EV version. So anyway, max range, they say the 0 to 60 will be less than 4.5 seconds, DC fast charging up to 350 kilowatts, and max towing capacity up to 10,000 pounds and 1,300 pound payload. So of course, none of those except for the charging rate would be comparable to what we expect from the top of the line Cybertruck. As for the timeline, they say that in spring 2023, they'll debut the Silverado WT. I think that would likely be for commercial customers. And then they say in fall 2023, a fully loaded RST first edition model will debut with an MSRP of $105,000 plus destination and freight charges. So a bit more expensive than the Ford F-150 Lightning tops out at, but this does have 400 miles of range estimated versus Ford at 300. GM definitely loves to just pack a lot of batteries into their vehicles. Anyway, that's the high end. They say that after production ramps, they will unleash a full Silverado EV portfolio, including the WT, with a starting price point of $39,900, similar to Ford, and then that the lineup will cover kind of the whole price range from high to low. So as far as I can tell, GM not announcing any of the specs on those lower end vehicles, very intentional and not surprising from GM, because then all the articles are just going to say, oh, 400 mile range truck, $40,000, gets people all excited, and then, well, that's actually the $105,000 version. So I think that's all we know right now about the Silverado EV, as far as I can tell. No word on any targeted production rates. GM today also announced electric versions of the Chevy Equinox and Chevy Blazer SUV, both of which they said will be available in 2023. No specs on those vehicles. GM just says that the estimated MSRP for the Equinox would be around $30,000 in the US, and then they did have a few renders of that vehicle as well. All right, next up here, we got some pretty interesting news from Amazon today. They announced a partnership with Stellantis, saying that it will be, quote, a series of global multi-year agreements that will transform the in-vehicle experience for millions of Stellantis customers and advance the mobility industry's transition to a sustainable, software-defined future, end quote. So Jeep customers, get ready to see Alexa in your vehicles. Pretty interesting, because I think at first, when you hear a partnership between Amazon and Stellantis, you probably assume vehicles for logistics purposes. And that is a part of this. Remember, it was a series of multi-year agreements. They do say that, quote, as a part of a separate agreement with Stellantis, Amazon will be the first commercial customer for Stellantis' new Ram Pro Master battery electric vehicle, launching in 2023, end quote. So Amazon going to be buying some vehicles from Stellantis as well. And kind of an interesting side note, this did seem to cause some pressure on Rivian stock today. But definitely sounds like Amazon moving in the direction of controlling a lot of the consumer-facing software for Stellantis. Quote, we are inventing solutions that will help enable Stellantis to accelerate connected and personalized in-vehicle experiences so that every moment in motion can be smart, safe, and tailored to each occupant. Together, we will create the foundation for Stellantis to transform from a traditional automaker into a global leader in software-driven development and engineering, end quote. So very interesting to see this approach from Amazon. I don't think this news is getting quite enough attention today. I think it's interesting to see them move in the direction of owning that UI, as well as now the split between Amazon working with Stellantis and Rivian. Definitely curious to see how that evolves. All right, lastly here, we've got an update from Sony. They have expressed interest in producing their own electric vehicle, but it's not as clear-cut as Sony is making an EV. They are reportedly planning to launch a company to examine entering the electric vehicle market. So they're planning to think about maybe making an EV. So we'll see. I'm guessing that kind of ends up going the way of Dyson wanting to make their own EV. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, January 6th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.